Hello, universe. It's the Energy is Love podcast. You know it because you're listening to it. We appreciate it. All the love and support that we get for the show. We cannot thank you guys enough for everything that you do. And by everyone, I mean you, the listener. If you haven't already, please go subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play Music or anywhere else that you like listening to the podcast. And if you're on iTunes, then please leave us a rating. Go review the show. We'd love to hear from you, and then that also helps the podcast grow and expand and reach more listeners. As always, you can find all of our episodes online at energyislovepodcast.com. Go follow us on Facebook, like our Facebook page. We've got a lot of information there. We post quite a few things regarding the podcast and things we're going to be up to, not just the people that are going to be on the show. You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter. So remember the challenge. Share the show if you haven't already. Tell your friends, tell your family members, tell somebody about the Energy is Love podcast so that they too can benefit from all the amazing guests that we have on the podcast. We've got an exciting thing coming up here in the next few weeks, September 24th at Dancing Cranes Imports in Salt Lake City, Utah, at 673 East Simpson Avenue. It is the Soulworks Fair. A lot of our guests on the podcast participate in the Soulworks Fair, and coming up on September 24th is this month's fair. So come out, say hello. My wife Stephanie and I are going to be there participating in the fair, so you should come and meet us in person and sit down and have a little mini session with us. It's a great opportunity to get some energy work done, get some healing done, get your cards read, get some insight and some answers to what's troubling you in life right now, what you're facing with, or what you're dealing with. Come out to the Soulworks Fair September 24th. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by our wonderful, amazing sponsor, Crystal Water Float Spa. crystalwaterfloat.com, or go to their Facebook page, Crystal Water Float Spa. If you live out in the Salt Lake Valley, Salt Lake area, Tula area, if you listen to the podcast and you're anywhere close, come hop in a tank out at Crystal Water Float Spa. You get to lay back in the beautiful crystal clear water of the Dream Pod and float away. Floating is one of those things that you can explain in a lot of different ways, but until you truly lay back and experience it firsthand, then you really know what it's all about. Maybe you're that person that's ready to open up their own float center. If that's the case, contact Crystal Water because they are the nation's only distributor for the Dream Pod. Dream Pods are amazing tanks to float in, and now you can get them here locally in the States. So it's a wonderful opportunity for those people that are ready to open up their own float centers. Customer service at Dream Pod is top notch. Contact them today. You can go online to dream-pod.com to find out more about the Dream Pods, and then contact Crystal Water Float Spa so that you can start your journey into becoming a provider of the most amazing flotation therapy out there. crystalwaterfloat.com or dream-pod.com. On today's episode of the podcast, on this episode right now that you are about to listen to through your beautiful headphones or your car stereo, I had the wonderful opportunity of interviewing and speaking with Sherry Teigman. Sherry hosts her own podcast called The Creative Soul Lab. You can find her show on iTunes as well as any other place that podcasts are available. There's a link to it in the show notes. Sherry was a wonderful, amazing guest to have on the show, not just because she's a fellow podcaster, not just because she has a great, great show, but she's a life coach. She's a mentor. She's somebody that helps people through some of the most difficult aspects of living a full, beautiful, amazing, joyful life. Sherry works with clients one-on-one in such a unique, special way, and she talked at great length about all the things that she does. She's also incredibly spiritual and intuitively connected when she works with people, so it was a true blessing and honor to have her on the show. Now, this is one of those episodes that we did record online, so keep that in mind as you're listening. We always do the best that we can with the audio on the podcast, but there's a couple of times where you can kind of tell. It's a beautiful episode with my beautiful guest, Sherry Teigman. Go online and find her at sherryteigman.com or check out her podcast, The Creative Soul Lab. Now sit back and relax and enjoy this episode of the podcast for the universe with my amazing guest, Sherry Teigman. Enjoy.
You're listening to the Energy is Love podcast.
Energy is love.
The Energy is the Love podcast.
The Energy is Love podcast.
Energy is love.
The Energy is Love podcast.
The podcast for the universe.
The Energy is Love podcast.
I'm excited for this interview.
I'm excited back. Thank you. Yeah. I'm really excited.
I always love when
the universe kind of spins and combines and mixes everything up, and then I get to sit back and enjoy what it comes up with.
Good cocktail.
Yeah. So I have a couple of things. First off, one thing I want to talk to you about, because I love it when I get to talk to other podcasters.
Yes.
And so I want to talk about your show and kind of how you, first off, and I apologize, I should probably know this already, but how long have you been doing the show?
I'm actually hitting my 1-year anniversary next week.
Oh, that's super nice.
That's a big deal for me. I can't believe it. I'm still in the honeymoon phase. I'm like, how'd that happen? I just love it so much that it flew.
The time just flew by?
Totally flew by.
Yeah. And it's the Creative Soul Lab.
Yes.
So how did you come to it? Were you in like broadcasting and a recording or anything like that before?
No, I was in the shower and the idea came to me. Where most of my ideas come. I was doing coaching for a while, and I just was realizing amongst the people, you know, the people that I collaborate with and the people that I work with in my audience, both as clients as well as do a lot of joint ventures and a lot of guest experts and people stuff. And I just love the deep soul chats that I have with people. And I always joke around. I mean, I'm a transformational coach, but I don't really like people. I like souls. So it's a little offensive, but it's true. You know, I don't like the drama and the silly conversations or the pretend everyone's fine. I like the gritty, vulnerable, raw stuff. So I realize that I'm having these incredible conversations and then everyone's pretending to be muggles around me. And I'm thinking, what if most people are not ready to have these conversations, but they're ready to hear these conversations and understand what else is available, what else is possible, and to know that to kind of stretch their own containers, to be open to hearing different perspectives, learning about different people. And my whole premise in it is, in my work and on the podcast, is how creativity and passion can fuel success in your life, in your business, fulfillment in your life, in your business, in work and in play. Many of us have learned from a young age to compartmentalize many pieces of who we are, what we be, who we're supposed to be, and it becomes this disjointed patchwork as opposed to a symphony of different sounds and noises and sizes and shapes. And when we can bring them together and understand that our rawness and vulnerability, as well as our curiosity and play, are what really makes us who we are, makes us good at what we do, whether in our jobs, in our relationships, in our friendships, in our relationship to self. And when we get to fuel from that place and have those be the drivers, so much more is possible, because you go back into that childlike what if game. What else is there? What else can I be? Can I fly a spaceship to school? You know, we stopped using that part of our brain, and then we learn to only use from outside in instead of inside looking out. We forget to look through our own lens. And that's how the podcast started. Was I really wanted to highlight, it's a mix of Shari rambles, which is me just doing my thing. And I used to call them musings, but I'm a New Yorker. They're more rambly.
Yeah.
And a mix of interviews as well with entrepreneurs, authors, writers, thought leaders, change makers, anyone who stepped out of line and figured out something different. One of my early episodes, someone said something that really stuck with me that really kind of wraps it all up. He said, I was just a kid who liked to build Legos, and I just stepped out of my regular job because I wanted to build something. And now he's one of like the forefront guys in podcasting for a long time. He's built a whole business off of it, just being organic reach and being himself and stopping to follow the rules. And that's really my goal for everyone, is to make your own rules, break them if you want. Follow the passion crumbs, I call them, you know, follow those sparks, those fireflies in your life, because people expect passion to be this. Timmy was a concert pianist at 3. We always knew he was going to be that, you know, and if we don't have that, then we think we don't have a passion. But a lot of times it's smaller pieces that make the bigger version. And I think it's a much, honestly, more livable way to be than having pressure on yourself to always be one way. But when we look back at the timeline and see the pieces that got us to where we are, in hindsight, it's like, oh, this all makes sense. I always loved to do this. I never liked when I did this. And then it kind of guides its own way down the path, and it makes sense where we all end up, even if on paper, many of us at times feel lost, we're there for a reason. And then we get to choose where to go from there.
So that's a lot of information. But you describe everything so beautifully.
That is Shari.
Talk to me about in the beginning when you start the podcast, Kay, because we're going to get like kind of dorky and nerdy in regards to podcasting. Because we just started back in May and it was a huge kind of learning curve in regards to
everything. I love it. I feel so blessed that I'm not naive in most areas of my life. I've done a lot of undoing. So the fact that I came into this totally blind and stupid was actually such a benefit for me because I didn't know what kind of pressure there should be with sound and broadcast. I just wanted to do it. So I just bought a microphone.
Microphone and started going.
I did. It was that simple.
Yeah. Did you have help in the beginning with it or was it just like...
So I have a friend of mine who is an OBM, an online business manager, and she is a techie lover. And at the time, she had started her own podcast, which I don't think she has it anymore. She just had a baby. So she has a baby instead of a podcast at the moment, which is nice. I had babies first and then a podcast. So my podcast was my third baby. She did it the other way around. Mm-hmm. So she had helped me with the tech stuff of because I am very low tech, complete creative visionary. I'm like, this is playing out in my head. I have no idea how to make this happen. And at the time I didn't have the budget nor the wherewithal to outsource it because I'm more a DIYer. I like to have my hands in my stuff. Mm-hmm. So she literally walked me through step by step how to get approved on iTunes. What does it look like when you record? How do you splice everything in the intro outro music? What does it look like on Audacity? So I edit on Audacity. How to upload, how to play around with stuff. You know, I won't lie, there have been a couple of episodes where audio was a little iffy that I had some lovely man in Pakistan from Fiverr help me out and take some, you know, background noise. But other than that, I really I do it very casually in the sense that by choice I let go of perfection and it's about the conversations and not the perfection.
Did you struggle with that in the beginning?
No.
No.
Surprisingly, I was very glad that was actually not one of my struggles because I knew that I couldn't get it perfect because I didn't even know what perfect looked like in this.
Yeah.
So I'm not trained in audio. I listen to it. I'm a content person. So obviously, if there's dramatic noise in the background or, you know, the two voices are completely off, then I'll notice it, but I don't notice the details of that stuff. So I couldn't even nitpick because I was just so gleefully excited to be having these conversations or talking about the stuff that I was talking about that I actually had to make myself focus enough to remember to put an intro and outro on. I mean, I was that childlike excited about it. And I wish I could rein that in all areas of my life because it would be so fabulous.
That's one of the coolest things I think for me personally when it came to the whole podcasting thing was I just get to have really cool conversations with anybody now where you now have kind of an end to where you can just reach out to anybody that you could possibly want to talk to. And now you have an excuse.
But it's having that platform that becomes an equalizer, which everyone's voice matters and every conversation matters and that I get to share somebody's story. I mean, I'm all about connection. So this is the ultimate connector for me. And if having a podcast behind my name gives me credence, street cred, whatever, for someone to trust me to open up or to be excited to step up and share something that they maybe haven't before. It's such an honored place for me to deep dive. And, you know, I do these beautiful kind of conversations in my coaching. And one of the things that I lament about is that I don't get to share them. Obviously, it's private and it's, you know, client confidentiality, but there's such gold and goodness when two people show up to be in a safe container and express what's truly going on, that's, like I said, really what struck me to say it's time and also to find people like us that, you know, over the ethers of the universe end up connecting us in windy roads to be able to sit and have this conversation. I mean, technology and the availability and the bravery and courage to show up together, time zones and time schedules around to carve out this. It's really, really sacred and beautiful.
I agree.
And, you know, then the ripple effect. Like I was listening to one of your episodes. I'm binge listening to you once I found you. So you come on a walk with me every morning. I hope you don't mind. And I was listening to this, I don't remember her name's wonderful German NLP master teacher.
Christiana Turner.
I didn't want that one to end, and it was a long one. I was so happy. And I'm just sitting there, and I was so overcome with gratitude that not only was I introduced to you, who then introduced me to her work, who then allowed me to listen in on two beautiful souls' journeys and how they connected and how one impacts the other and just the ripple effect of then I heard it and I sent it to my friend who's going through something hard, but I'm too close to the situation to help her with, to reach out and say, hey, I think this is something you just listening will help you. And it became an act of self-care for her. And it's just another tool that we have available in a very loud, crazy, busy world to help us all slow down, to help us all hear the message and see the signs in the way that we're meant to. Knowing that we have even a small part of that is just so unbelievable.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that, because that's one of the things, like the whole purpose and reason behind me creating the podcast and trying to do it was simply just to not necessarily spread awareness, but I love the idea that somebody out there in the universe, wherever they are, has some sort of spark that happens, something that they resonate with and connect with.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, for me, that's more than enough. Do you know what I mean? That's the whole purpose yes. and goal and, you know, behind all of it.
Many of us, we have this, which is beautiful, this desire for significance, this beautiful desire to spread a larger legacy on the world. But it has to go in bite-sized pieces. You know, small hinges open big doors. And it's person by person, hand by hand, conversation by conversation. And sure, is it weird that I sit in my basement and talk to myself on a microphone? Maybe. But it's led me to clients I never could have found. It's like I get these messages from all over the world, even if I never work from them. Just, you touched my soul, that conversation, that interview, that person. I've had people that I've interviewed get clients from the show. It's not about the money exchange. It's about the connection exchange for me. Mm-hmm. That it's just, I mean, this world is an abundant place. And it's just so beautiful to touch people one conversation at a time. I picture someone consciously slowing down and pressing on a podcast can be a life-changing experience for someone. Not to be dramatic, but that could be the change that sparks everything in their life from a place of darkness to a place of light.
I totally agree. I was listening to it was the episode that you did with Cliff Wilde.
Yeah.
And had never heard of that guy before, never heard of him and his wife, knew mm-hmm. nothing about them. Mm-hmm. And then through listening to your episode, I went out and found all other stuff, started following everything they're doing. And, you know, in the span, I mean, that's been probably in the span of less than a month.
Yeah.
And they've got tons of little nuggets and things that resonate and connect with where I'm at and help me out in this situation or that situation. And I mean, that's literally the beautiful thing about what we do with podcasting is that's the goal, I think. And that's why I enjoy your show. That's why I think that you have success with it, is because you're coming from that place where I don't think either one of us are necessarily looking to monetize our podcasting to the extent where it's just another outlet for that creativeness. And
absolutely. And, you know, the more I find selfishly, the more I have the podcast to focus on, the more things I have to say. You know, it's a little crass, but it's very me. There's that creative constipation that I work on with my clients. Like, if you don't get this stuff out, it gets muddy inside. The messages don't come through clearly. You don't have the categories of what comes in come out the same way. And the podcast has really enabled me to get clearer on who I am as a person, who I am as a facilitator, what I believe about the world, what I have to say about what I see out there, the beautiful lessons that I want to teach and learn in my own life, you know, the messy version of what life is really. One of my episodes last year was pretty early on. I had pneumonia. It was a complete upper limit shutting down. I broke my foot and got pneumonia within a couple of weeks. There was a lot changing in my life and it's happening a little too quickly for me. And I said, oh no, it's my weekly day to do my podcast. What am I going to do? And I said, whoa, what kind of message do I teach that everyone else should be raw and vulnerable? And I'm sitting here worried about what my voice sounds like. So I recorded a podcast all about upper limiting with a scratchy, froggy voice. I already have a raspy voice, so I had almost no voice. I was coughing in the middle. I cut those out, but I'm going to show up how I am, because that makes a difference. It makes a difference for me. Whatever that impacts someone else, it's in my integrity to know that I am doing that over and over and over again. And that's the best way, you know, with a blog, you can slack with this. I mean, with everything you can slack, but with the podcast, this, the mission of the podcast is bigger than me, and I serve it instead of it serving me.
Yeah. You're very inspirational.
Thank you.
So let's go into, how do you find, you said before you started podcasting, you were already doing your coaching thing. And how did you get into that? Like, my guess is, I don't think anybody necessarily graduates from high school and then becomes a life coach.
I wish I had, but I would have been a pretty crappy life coach had I started.
But it obviously takes quite a journey to get to that point where not only do you feel like you have something to offer other people and that you can actually benefit other people, but really you get to that point in your own space where you kind of have the courage to do it, I think, because it's a challenging thing. And you see people in that realm of like entrepreneurship and life coaching and all that kind of stuff. And you can definitely tell, I think personally, maybe it's just me, but you can tell the ones that are coming from that truth and the place of integrity and the ones that are just kind of faking it and calling it in.
Oh, yes. It's not just you.
And so tell me about that journey, that experience of how did you get to that point in your life where this is what my passion was, this is what I was going to do, and this is where, you know, the universe led me.
Oh, yes. It was not a graceful, flowy one, I'll tell you that much. It was more the boot camp version, the Marine boot camp version of life. I got married at a very young age to the wrong person. And I went on a 12-year journey of a marriage that was not the right fit. And I say it like that not because I'm trying to sugarcoat anything, but first of all, out of respect for myself, who I was at the time, it was the only choices that I could make. And I still have a tumultuous relationship with my ex-husband. So he's not part of the story going forward, but out of respect for the fact that he's the father of my kids, you know, this isn't a smut fest. So needless to say, it was a very rough ride for 12 years. I have two beautiful kids. I was a stay-at-home mom for two kids. I always joke around, but I'm not kidding. Ultimate Stepford wife in a small Jewish community that I grew up in right outside of New York City. Played the role. I did, you know, perfect everything. I was PTO president of my kids' school. I had perfect Sabbath meals. You know, it's the way that I grew up. I played the role well, and I don't do things halfway, so I was all in. And my soul had long left the building, though. So I was watching a video of myself at, well, one of my kids' birthday parties, and I spotted myself in the video, and my eyes were completely dead. Now, if anyone gets to know me, you'll know that I have like extra sparkle. There's a lot of passion, a lot of energy. I'm always buzzing, and none of that was there for a very long time. And that died out in me in my very early 20s. And at this point, I was in my early 30s, and I just knew something I had to give. It was a very messy tumble out of a dark life that looked perfect from the outside. So there was a lot of judgment and a lot of, I divorced my ex-husband as well as a lot of my old friends. I just literally walked out of my life like Truman Show walked out of the sky. And I had my two babies with me and a few garbage bags. And I said, I have no idea where I'm walking. I just know I'm not going to make it if I stay here. I just, my soul was crumbling inside of me.
How old were your kids at the time?
My kids, when it started, were 7 and 5. And we moved out when they were 7 and 9. So it was a long, arduous process. And then ironically, I was not ironically, it would make sense. I was fueled completely on adrenaline at the time of just full on survival mode, you know, mama bear protecting. And I was just going to get out. I was driven and I finally felt something again. So I was like, okay, I'm good. As soon as I get out, we'll be good. And then once I got out is when the real darkness came, because yeah. I knew what I was running from, but I had absolutely no idea what I was running towards. I didn't know what was possible. I was very jaded and hurt and scared, disappointed in myself for abandoning myself so long ago, because it obviously started earlier than that to have made those choices, and just looking around and saying, what am I going to do? And it was a dark and lonely road. And I say lonely because I wouldn't let anyone in, you know, and there were the days where I couldn't even make it to my bed. I was just lying on the floor. And I'm very blessed. I'm blessed that I have my kids in general, but I call them my lighthouses. They were really the only light that I saw at that time. And being a mom to me is the ultimate gift. So I got up every day and did what I needed to do for them. And because I had to keep going. I have an example to set for them. You know, I didn't turn their life upside down to leave it like that. So I started actually a friend of mine got certified in yoga, and I was like, I'm not getting on a mat. I have no interest. I don't do quiet. I don't do calm. I like to dance on tables. Like, that's just not my jam. Enjoy it. And she said, you know what? Just come to the studio. You could just sit. We're going to all have coffee afterwards. So I just needed to get out of the house at that point. It was actually a weekend when my kids were not home. So that was very dark for me. So I went and I sat on the bench outside and I watched the people go in looking all stressed and come out an hour later looking like completely different people. And I'd look at her and say, what happens in that room? She's like, come in. I said, oh, no, I'm not coming in. I just want to know. So it went on for a while and I would sit and watch, and it was just a nice environment to be in, and watching people help themselves was lovely, even though I wasn't.
So you're just sitting there watching yoga?
So I actually just sat in the waiting room. Oh, I didn't even go into the room. And then one day it was very cold outside and there was no heat in the front of the studio, but in the yoga room, there was heated. So she said, why don't you just, I'll put a mat out. You don't have to do anything. Just sit in the back of the room and just stay warm. So I kind of rolled my eyes and I said, fine. Needless to say, you know, you could figure what happened.
Yeah.
Within 40 minutes, I was in child's pose, completely hysterically crying, completely cracked open. Fast forward a year, I went and got my own yoga certification.
Oh, I love that.
So I tell the story because, you know, the reluctant student is still a student, and I had to overcome my own resistance to allowing myself to want more, to believe that something else was possible, to trust that I wouldn't hurt myself again. And it was the most magnificent experience. And, you know, I'm not one of those people who hangs upside down. I don't do anything complicated. It's a soul journey for me. It's not about the physical challenge, which, although I love it and I honor it in people who can push themselves like that, for me, it's a coming home. And it's, I grew up, like I said, modern Orthodox Jewish, and I joke around like, my mat is my temple. Like, I grew up going to temple my whole life. I connect instantaneously to God, higher source, whatever you want to call it, on my mat because I come back inside my body.
Yeah.
And I learned so much about who I was, you know, as you are on your mat is how you are off, afraid to hold a pose, uncomfortable in silence. All of these things just came tumbling out. Like, it was a truth serum. And I said, what is going, it's like a magic carpet ride. Like, what is going on here? And through that time, I started cranking open, and I stumbled upon somebody's, I don't know, some self-help summit on Facebook. I was wandering around looking, and an old friend of mine from high school ended up, I think she's a professional organizer, actually recently sent her a message thanking her for being the impetus for all of this. And it, because it reminds me of, like we were talking about, one podcast episode, one Facebook post, a summit interview. You never know what the tipping point is for someone. And it changed my life. I fell down the beautiful rabbit hole of self-development. I bucked the system a lot. I broke a lot of rules because that's what I do. And I realized in my own healing, there was the only movie moment that I did have so far. Hopefully there'll be more. I was laying on my floor and I couldn't anymore. And I literally looked up and I said, God, if you help me get up from here, I vow to never let anybody that I can reach feel this alone or broken by themselves. And that was it. That was the day it all changed. And it was an intention that I set out into the universe. I didn't know these words yet, but I literally felt the change in myself. And I still get goosebumps and tears remembering, like, the light went on. And the motivation for me to get stronger was in order to help other people. So it was became a double fuel for me, which is how I work. And I just went full charge. I got my yoga certification at the same time that I got my life coaching. I did a year long program. And then truthfully is when I went on the real journey of finding my own way in it, really, becoming more intuitive, cracking open to who my people are, what my message is. And it's just been, that was like about 3 years ago that I completed all of that stuff. And I mean, I look back, it's not even a recognizable person. It's so when people come to me and they don't believe they can change, I'm so proud to look at them and say, I get it. There's no Pollyannic view here. I will never tell you you could do something you don't believe you can, because you can't until you believe it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm that gritty, unconventional coach. I'm not going to throw the mantras and the affirmations at you. I'm going to sit in the trenches with you. I'm going to hold your hair when you need to vomit. We're going to really flesh out. We laugh a lot. I don't believe that self-development has to be as painful to get out as it was to get in. That's where I bring the curiosity and play into it, because if we always try to go through the same door we got in, where it's really hard to get out. So we open windows, we air things out, we make sky lights, we play in the backyard, we do all sorts of stuff to loosen the glue that got us stuck. And then we move from there. And again, I only know it because I lived it, and I still live it every day. I will, very humble to never forget how I got here.
So you bring up a lot of stuff that I want to talk about, okay? Because sure. You listen to the podcast, so you have a really good understanding of not just the stuff that we talk about on the show, but the whole thing in regards to like spirituality and energy work and all those kind of bigger, different cosmic metaphysical things. And listening to you talk, listening to you describe your experience, specifically, like, I think the thing with yoga is absolutely beautiful, because the way you describe it, like you said, you're not there necessarily. I mean, it's coming back to yourself. It's finding that deeper meaning, that deeper place inside of you, and connecting with it and being in that space when you're doing yoga. I mean, that's super good meditation, obviously. Had you ever done anything like that before? Like, were you into meditation? Were you into any aspect of that? Or was it really just yoga that was, you know, that thing that cracked you open to some of those deeper things?
Yoga was the doorway in, because at that point in my life, I could not handle the silence of my own head, to the point that at the time I was seeing a therapist at the end of my divorce. She had me have a radio on all the time because I could not be alone with my head. Mm-hmm. And that's actually how I found that summit, because I was just looking for something to drown out the noise of my own head. I didn't even care what it was. So there was always music or something talking. It's when I found TED Talks. The only way I could learn to go inside was through my body, because my head was so busy that there wasn't the availability. For me, it's all about space making. So I didn't have the space up there. I had to make the space in my body first, and then my mind had to follow.
It's so interesting. And I mean, I'm sitting here, and this is one of the challenging parts too, when you interview people, is you have all of these like thousands of questions and things that pop out. But I think it's so neat. Like, do you think of yourself in, because you talk about these things, okay? I'm rambling and I'm sitting here tripping over my words, but you talk about the way that you work with clients and the way that you kind of move through life now. And I'm listening to you and I hear all of these incredibly deep spiritual things that are connected to, like you said, whether we want to call it God, the universe, some higher power. And that's where the good stuff is. And you're doing it in such a way where a lot of times I think people listen to our podcast, or my wife and I find it, when we're working with clients and things like that, where they're not necessarily spiritual. They don't want to learn about auras or their chakras or the things that, you know, we incorporate and do necessarily. But when we can reach them in such a way with just the realization of, look, there's something greater than you out there, and you can connect to that. And when you're in that flow of energy, then good shit happens. And so the way you describe it, that's what I'm hearing. You know, that's what's standing out. It's like you have this way of doing it. It's like you don't realize how, and maybe you do realize, but it's like you don't realize how connected spiritually you are to things. Do you think of yourself as a spiritual person?
So I actually think of myself as a very spiritual person. And one of the things that my clients end up being drawn to me to is that I have this gritty New Yorker thing about me. I do speak quickly. My hands are flapping even though we're not on video. This is just the way I am. I'm a very energetic person, and that means I can also be spiritual. That doesn't mean I have to meditate on top of the mountain and wear Birkenstocks and be very quiet, which I love those people.
Yeah.
But sometimes it ends up being too, and I'm not doing this on purpose. It's just who I am. But like, the grit of my spirituality comes out differently than the calm of someone else's. But my goal is to show everyone there's a doorway into that space within you, no matter how you have to come through it. I had to be dragged. I was literally dragged. And I believe the universe, God, I believe in all of it. So all of them had to band together and drag me. I was a reluctant student, and it was the greatest gift, because if it came easily, I wouldn't have stuck with it. I had to fight my way to this, and it's the most magnificent, freeing, spacious, beautiful existence when I can keep coming back to this. And I'm very human, so there are days I forget it, and then I remember, hey, wait a second, I have another place to go. And then I go to that place, and it's just, it's so gorgeous in here, and it looks different for everyone. And that's why there are people who go to those trance parties and find their transformation, and go to Burning Man and dress in insane costumes and find their spirituality. There are other people that will go to a silent meditation. There's no way that it has to look. And that's my goal in teaching people, because as soon as we step out of who we don't want to be, just by human nature, we then look for someplace else to belong. And then people start taking on languaging and clothing and green juices and meditation. And it has to, but unless it, and I love all of it. But it has, I live in New York. So remember, people live in a very stressful way.
Yeah.
But they said they had their green juice and their eye is twitching from stress. I'm like, skip the juice. Let's breathe a little. You know, you don't win a prize here. So it's a balance of finding what works for you and what that means to you. So spirituality to me is the most magnificent thing, but I can't do it any other way than mine. Just like I can't do anything else. My business, I can't do any other way. I can't mother any other way. I can't be any other way. And what worries me is that there's so many people with the books and everything that it has to look like this. Manifestation has to look like this. Your spiritual practices have to look like this. All it does is add more pressure to people who already are hurting.
See, I think that's go ahead.
Yeah, no, and it's just, it's sad to me. It's such a missed opportunity for someone to take all of the pieces and make it their own.
Yeah, and I think that is one of the biggest key things in regards to not just life, but anything that we do, really the way that we live, that it doesn't have to look any specific way, that sure shit doesn't have to look like the person next door or the coworker or our parents, or it can look whatever way that you want it to. And I think so many times people stay stuck in that space because they're trying to do something. They have that intention and it's a good positive intention, but they're trying to do it from a perspective or from a way that is completely counterintuitive to what their nature is.
Simply
because that's the way that it's supposed to, and that's a hard thing, I think, for people. I still struggle in that space at times where, I want to do this or I want to do that. And it's like, well, you look to people that are successful doing the things that you want to do, and then you kind of mirror them in a sense, or you kind of gain from their experience. And so I've done that route. But in the end, it's like, even when I take information from, we'll just use podcasting because we're on a podcast and all that kind of shit. So I look at podcasts that are out there, and I glean information from them in regards to not just production and websites and how to build listenership and, interview techniques and all these different aspects of it. But at the end of the day, it's like, I still have to just do what I want to do. I still have to do the show that I want to do. Because when I try to fit into that space of, if I want this to be successful, then it has to look like X, Y, and Z. 9 times out of 10, I just fail miserably in that space. It doesn't work.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought this up. So in my work, and this is totally on point, I work with people in their lives and in their businesses. So immediately that causes a red flag. Well, don't you have to pick one? Is immediately like, so my answer is I don't have to do anything. I help people get out of that Groundhog Day in their life and in their business, because we are not separate beings in our lives and our businesses. Well, hopefully not. If we are, we try to integrate that. So that is so much of exactly what I do with my clients in both arenas. And I'm glad you brought the podcasting up, because I see it a lot with my business clients. What happens is they have a beautiful, amazing dream. They're passionate about it. They're excited. They have an idea. They see a need in the market, whether it's a product, it's a service, online, offline, doesn't matter. Something sparked in them. They step out of line. They're ready to do this. And then once again, human nature, it's what we do. We look around again. We stand out. We say, I'm off that line. Where's the next line to go to? It may be a better line, a shorter line, but it's still a line. You may make more friends on it, but standing alone is still a very scary thing to most of us, just from a safety needs perspective and security, and as well as acceptance. And they start to shave off the sides of their dream. And it starts to look like everyone else. Their copy starts to look like everyone else. Their podcast format starts to look like everyone else. I know I had that dream, but this looks like it monetizes better. Or that guru said, if I do this for 45 seconds, I can make six figures this month. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah.
I'm going to abandon my dream and just try that for this month. And then they end up like wayward travelers, so far away from who they wanted to be in this world that they can't even remember it. And frighteningly, sometimes it actually works from a financial perspective for a short period of time. And then when something goes wonky, the whole thing explodes because they have no place to go back to. There's no center point in them. And that is a lot of what, I mean, it's really the same work in life and business, is reverse engineering who you be, who you want to be, what your values and principles are, what you stand for, first figuring those out, frankly, because many of us never knew we were allowed to do that. And then creating a life, creating a business, creating a marketing plan, creating an action step down to the details, the bigger visionary stuff, as well as the day-to-day of how does that translate into action without derailing yourself due to what you see around you. And I'm not making it light work, because it's not. It is the hardest thing to stay in until you get steady enough to have your own momentum to remember why you stepped off in the first place.
Yeah. Do you think that, because you talk about like creating, I think it's a really good idea first and foremost to find out what your purpose and your drive is. And it doesn't have to be specific, like I'm going to be a life coach. That's my purpose and my drive. It's more of like the deeper issues underneath all of those reasons. Like, why do you want to do that? Why do you want to do this? Finding out what that is. And then this is kind of where it comes into that space of, it doesn't have to. So somebody's going to come see Sherry, right? And Sherry's going to guide them, and she's going to help them, and she's going to give them advice, and she's going to be with them along that journey as they kind of expand and grow. But and don't take this the wrong way in any way, shape, or form, but they don't have to do it your way either. Do you know
what I mean? Exactly. And that's the thing. I have a lot of people, and I've seen it 100 times. I've been that person who come to me to be their leader, to be a guru, because they're looking for something else to be. And I immediately deflect it. I said, oh, no. We're doing this your way. I am your partner in finding your way. Don't do it my way. Because frankly, they could copy what I do down to the letter of the law. It won't work.
Yeah.
They're not me. I made it up. I want them to make it up. You know, and it's true. It is a very big default. And, you know, there's a big piece of keeping your ego out of it. I don't mean ego, the big ego. I mean actual ego of, it feels nice to be followed. Wait a second. This message is for them. It's not about me. I'm here to share even bravery and courage and visibility and some smarts and some lessons and some not caring about what anyone thinks. And I'm going to go do it, whatever that looks like. And I find it funny how all of us, like, you can have the people everyone loves. Everyone equally hates them. I mean, you know, you have Gary Vee, who I guess some people literally would lick the floor he walks on, and other people can't bear him for a minute because of his energy. Like, it's about what resonates with you and not leaving it there. Don't just follow. Find out what the resonance is. What does it bring up in you? What does it trigger, both positive or negative, which then comes back to those values and principles? Like you said, why does this drive me? Why does this keep coming up in my life? Why is this something that I'm drawn to? Why is this something that totally turns me off? All they are is just clues, just like fear is a clue. What's going on with me? It's just raising their hand to have a conversation with that part of yourself that's trying to tell you something of who you actually want to be, what else you want for yourself, what you want in the world, and then creating something around that. And again, that doesn't have to be some bold business plan. That could just be how you show up at work, how you play with your kids, how you speak to your spouse. So tiny things change everything.
For sure. And I want to, like, let's focus on this for a minute. So the important aspect of learning and finding out what resonates with you and recognizing what that is, so that you can steer towards those things and be consciously aware of when those things pop up. So if you have somebody, if you have a client that comes to you who literally has no idea how to connect with that, has no idea. I mean, they understand the concept that you're explaining, but they don't know how to put that into action. They don't know how to really connect with that space inside of them or that thing to know when something's resonating with them. Maybe they are just still too chaotic in their head, or they've never had the opportunity to really, you know, speak their truth or voice those things inside of them. How do you help them in that process of learning how to connect with what resonates with them?
Great question. So again, going back to my story, I never forget what that feeling feels like, because had I met me at that stage of my life, I would have ran in the other direction. I wasn't ready for it. So I'm well aware what I can sound like to someone, which keeps me, again, very humble and very present. I joke that it holds me by my face mask to translate this transcendental way that I know the way the world works, where you and I can have a certain conversation. I cannot expect my clients just starting off to meet me in that place. Mm-hmm. I have a responsibility to meet them where they are and speak in their language. If that means getting them to breathe, to feel their breath further down than the top of their neck and understand what their stomach feels like when they get scared, then I've done my job for that day. So for some people, the doorway in is their body. What does it feel like? Where can you feel the fear in your body? Describe it to me. Is it tar? Is it a tight rubber band? And I'm very kinesthetic. I'm very intuitive. And I'm also, as you can tell, I use a lot of metaphors. So I just speak that way naturally, but it works with my clients because I take them out of the esoteric and I'm like, come on, tell me, does it feel like someone's snapping a rubber band on the back of your neck? Oh my God, how'd you know? So I don't tell them how I know, because it'll freak them out until it doesn't freak them out. And then I tell them, I can sense things about them, but I have to honor their journey. We can't fast forward it for anybody. So I have to meet them where they are. I use a lot of art in my work. I trained as an art therapist before I fell down this delicious rabbit hole. So I use a lot of art therapy. I taught at a retreat in Colorado back in June, and I did what was supposed to be a 1-hour workshop turned into a 5-hour workshop where we had to cancel the rest of the afternoon because everyone was a little cracked open. And I did this entire, it was a bunch of very powerful, driven businesswomen, and broke them down a little bit. And we went into not the surface stuff that they're used to writing down of, oh, your limiting beliefs and all that stuff. We went really into who they are, what their fears are, spoke to their fears with all different kind of art. We layered artwork, a bunch of mixed media sort of things, using music and meditation, future self stuff. It was really intense and interesting. And I was laughing because the two other people who taught at the retreat are the real business kind, came with PDFs that were sent 3 weeks before, PowerPoint positions. I threw a bunch of art supplies into my suitcase and made it up as I went because, and again, I'm honest, I was beating myself up on the plane thinking, you didn't prepare. And then I stopped myself and said, that's not my way. This is how I roll. Yeah. We just go. I needed to feel the energy of the people before I knew what they needed from me. And in that whole exploration, these are people who don't see themselves as artistic, see themselves as intuitive, see themselves as emotional or available to this stuff. And at the end of the day, they were, because I didn't tell them that they needed to be anything but themselves. We just open up conversations with different parts of ourselves and find out what those parts need to tell us through art, through music, through touch, through journaling, through meditation. Now, I'm not such a big journaler. I love routines for other people. They don't work for me. If I told myself I have to do the same thing every day, I'm a rebel by nature. I will break the rule that I made. So I have to honor what works for me. And in that same light, I have to honor what works for my clients. So I can't rush them. I can't pull them, and I can't care more than they do. That's something that I had to learn because it was hard for me. I want to save the world, but I can only save someone who's ready to jump on the boat.
Yeah.
So I don't overwhelm them with things. We start small. And the truth is, thank God, knock on wood, things move very quickly because if they trust me, they can go there. This is hard work to do by themselves. So I hate to sound to be that mentor who's like everyone needs a mentor, but everyone needs a mentor. And a mentor can be an accountability partner. It could be a friend that you go on a journey with. A mentor can be a book that you find if investing in someone is not. It's a readiness thing. When you're ready, the teacher will appear in podcast, in an interview, in a book, in a radio show. It doesn't matter where it comes from. This isn't always a five-figure investment to save yourself. It's like, you know, investing in an expensive gym and you never go to the gym. That's not the point. It's about diving in and finding out what's inside. And so I go very slow until I don't have to, and then we go straight through.
Are you consciously aware of how much energy work you're actually doing?
Absolutely. Okay. I just don't tell them that.
Because you're sitting here talking about shit. And I'm like, so you're an empath. You're naturally connected completely, to all this different flow of stuff.
And so, but you notice that I don't call it any of that. So ironically, it's funny that you picked that up. It's kind of obvious. But when I was married, when my younger son was born, who's 14 now, he was God bless him. He's my greatest blessing. Very, very tough since conception. I was on bed rest half my pregnancy. He came out this cranky maniac. He was my greatest lesson. He woke me up. And ironically, not just from sleep, but from everything else. He really took me and shook my life up. And at the time, I was looking for anything to solve what was going on with him. And I ended up, I always was into natural medicine, all this stuff. I had an autoimmune disease when I was younger. Again, not listening to my body shutting down. This was when I was 17, 18. So I'm used to the realm of natural medicine and I love all of this stuff. So I ended up going to what I thought was a homeopath. She ended up being an energy healer and she worked on him a little bit through me and started to see change. And of course, I fell in love with the work. I've always been drawn to this stuff. And I went and trained under the teacher who unfortunately has since passed away, and did about a year and a half of training under her. And it was really just to help my kids and help my own physical stuff. And unfortunately, the energy work that I was doing at the time, although I never served clients with it, got thrown into the messiness of my divorce. And my teacher was brought into court. It was just a lot of crazy stuff went on there. So I didn't even realize how much of this I walked away from at the time, probably from protection of I got to shut that part down because it's not safe. But yeah. I'm a complete empathic, intuitive wild woman in here. So
what was
it may read in a leather jacket.
What was the modality? What was the, do you remember?
It was called Consegrity and it was really, so at the time, it was 14 years ago, it was about, so many critics of Reiki feel that inexperienced Reiki healers, not, you know, like the online out in an hour, you're certified kind of people end up pushing energy into somebody because they don't understand the interface value of whose energy is whose and saving and all that kind of stuff. So find out who we are by learning what we are not. So the whole, you know, now I in our manifestation stuff of undoing what we're brought here for, the lessons, soul contracts, all that kind of stuff. And it was literally this manual of techniques. And it was a lot of kinesiology we used in it. Like I have a very strong yes, no in my hand that was trained from then that I could ask a question in 2 seconds, know which highway to take. I wish I would remember to use it more often so that I don't get stuck in traffic, but it's in there. And it was ironically developed by this very accomplished, very muggle left brain surgeon from Wichita, Kansas. And she discovered all this stuff from seeing, she was an orthopedist and she would operate on people. And 3 months later, they'd be back with the same problem. Although she knew from a physical perspective, she fixed it. And she started to explore the emotional, quietly in the medical field, the emotional aspects of trapped emotions, that this pain can be from someone else. It could be ancestral, all this stuff. So she created this modality. And very interestingly, there, of course, because it's always like this, within 3 years, there was a split of two factions within it, people who loved her, then someone else who broke off and did something else. But ironically, the modality was much more complicated than it needed to be objectively, because she had to reroute around her medical training, where most of us didn't have that. We could have gone straight in. So a session that would take an hour and a half, I could have gone straight in and just sensed something in a person, but I had to go through the steps in order to get there. Because that's how she created it. So it's a very, you know, there are pros and cons to it, but it opens up a whole availability to me of understanding people immediately on the supermarket line without noticing, understanding why, realizing I've been like this my whole life. So yeah. I don't market myself as an intuitive, but I get on the phone with someone and literally within 5 minutes, I know exactly what's going on. And I'll flat out say it to them, and I will always respectfully say, are you open to what I feel is going on? If I'm wrong, tell me. We'll go another avenue. There's a million ways to do this. And it's not a compliment to me because it comes through me. I go right in because I'm not asking for permission or their acceptance. I want to reflect for them a different perspective. Whether they're ready to take it or not, I understand who's not, who I can't say certain things to. But sometimes that pattern interrupt alone is enough to shake them out of, oh, wait a second. How did she know that? And then we could start doing the work. It creates a trust connection between us where it's like, this isn't just a conversation anymore. This is a conversation.
So I have a question. Did you consciously choose to not market yourself in that regards, or did it just kind of naturally happen in that sense where, you know, that not, maybe that wasn't necessarily the plan that you had, but do you know what I mean?
It's a great question. I'm ever evolving. So I have learned a long time ago never to say never about anything because most of the things I said never to happen. So I will never say that I will never, especially the more I lean into it, the more like I even freak myself out sometimes. I'm like, how the hell did I know that?
Yeah.
Like it'll just come rushing through me. So I won't say that it won't happen. It just hasn't happened yet. I'm kind of giving it the space and the respect to unfold as I want it to, because if I put pressure on it, it's going to be like yelling at a cat. You know, it's going to stop serving me in the way that I want it to. So it's just part of my work. And like when I read over testimonials from my clients in business and work, it's like she's in my head. She somehow sees stuff that I don't understand. And I think it's funny. It's like she just has this way about her. She has this sparkly view of my life. She just sees things. And look, none of us can see our blind spots, so that's what we have helpers for. I can see things differently than other people. We can call it whatever we want. It's working for me and for my people. So
yeah.
I will let it unfold how it's meant to. So we can speak in 6 months and it'll be flashed all over the place that I'm an intuitive. It could totally happen.
So I'm going to challenge you. Okay.
Go right ahead. I'm on it.
Part of the thing that happens too is I sit here and talk to people and do you know what I mean? It's like I hear things that they're saying and whatnot. And you've described yourself this way as well, that you're a fast talker, you're moving a lot. The fact is your head is still running all the time. It just kind of has more direction and focus than in the past when it just seemed like chaos. I would challenge you in a sense to try to find ways to intuitively tap into yourself. So you have this incredible ability to connect with people and have a knowingness of what they're thinking and what they're feeling and what's some of the roadblocks in their lives and things like that. I would challenge you to do that for yourself more and more and more and in different ways than you commonly would, because the fact is you are connected to yourself. Obviously you're connected to that passion. You're connected to your drive and you're in that really, really good spin and vibration of the universe where you ideally need to be because things are going really well. But I think if you could find a way to tap in deeper to yourself and use what you use with other people on yourself more and more and more, then I think that beautiful gift that you have that just is a natural thing would kind of blossom and grow even more. And it's not to say that in 6 months you're going to have, you know, yourself branded as an intuitive or as an energy healer or anything like that. It's just a better way to help yourself.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that reflection and that honoring of what I said. And I will do exactly that. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Does that kind of make sense?
It makes complete sense. Absolutely. And you know, there are people who say you teach what you have to learn. And that a little bit offends me sometimes because I feel like it's irresponsible. Like people don't have to pay me while I'm learning. Like I can learn my own stuff on my time. I can teach what I know. and I can continue to learn. So it's the combination of the two. And the truth is, I see the more that I do exactly what you're saying, the more I have to teach. And so that's exactly that clarity of separating the two. I was talking to a client of mine yesterday who is a coach, and so much of her stuff, her clients do incredibly and her life is falling apart, and she's kind of split off into two worlds. And I said to her, service is the ultimate deflection of your own stuff because it feels so good. And it's not even selfish. It feels so good to be serving others when we can avoid our own stuff, but it's a fine line to walk, and it's something that we have to be very careful of.
It's a very, very, very good point.
I think it's a little ugly to look at. But
it is true. Ugly to look at. You know, it brings up, because in my mind, I love helping people, right? That's kind of a purpose and a passion behind a lot of different things that I do, is I just like simply helping people. But there's a flip side to it where it fuels me, right? It's kind of selfish in a way, because I like working with people. I like helping people with whatever the case may be, but I'm getting something from that. It's that kind of, I mean, the reality is it's the energy exchange that takes place, and we can describe it in a very hippie spiritual way.
Yes.
But it's, you know, it kind of fuels me. And so it's kind of selfish in the end that I like to help people. But
yes,
I don't know. I mean, you just have to find balance in that space and not
get
lost.
That's exactly it. And also being mindful of it, noticing what it gives you and what else you're doing for yourself separate, because we don't want it to be only a mirror reflection. And it's easy to fall into that because it does feel good when people thank you for service and feel so connected and are so honored that you stay in their scary spaces. We all have to be able to do that for ourselves as well, either personally or by getting support for yourself, to give yourself as much of a journey and as much of a love for yourself as you can give to other people. Because if we drain the bowl, there's not going to be anything left.
Yeah. So in the realm of energy work and healing and all that kind of stuff, a lot of times I think people who are practitioners or people who are working with clients and things like that, they tend to find, or it seems to be a common theme, where the people that show up for them, meaning the people that come and see them, their clients that they see, typically are people that they're incredibly well suited to help, because they are going through similar experiences or have similar experiences. I can't think of another word to describe it, that they have gone through, that they have experienced. So do you find that same kind of aspect where the clients that you're working with and the people that you're kind of, that are being drawn to you, are experiencing some of the same life issues and experiences that you went through, so that you're suited to help them?
Oh, yes. And there's also, as we all do, have certain personalities that work and don't work. And sometimes we can hear something from somebody and it doesn't land. And then someone else says it and it's like on tablets from a mountain. Like, I've never heard that before. You've heard it 10 times, just in a different way. So yes, the people that I work with are the ultimate direct mirror. I believe my ideal client is only a few years behind me, both in business and in life. And it doesn't necessarily mean they've been on this survival thing, understanding there's more, releasing the grip of that, you know, little chop on life, and softening. And understanding softening is not weak. It's actually the bravest, boldest thing you can do, is to allow life to flow through you instead of thinking you have to control it. So I have lots of high achievers. I have lots of fast talkers. I'm actually have all kinds, which I love. I like the blend of whatever's drawn to me, because I know they show up for a reason and I honor that and treat them exactly like that. Every person who comes to me is a gift in whatever form.
Do you take pieces from those sessions, from the things that do you take pieces from working with somebody and realize that some of that stuff that's come out, some of that stuff that you're working through in regards to helping them, is really showing up as well, so that you can gain benefit from it and help yourself perpetuate forward?
I will change one thing in that sentence and say yes. I will say everything that shows up with my clients is for me.
Yeah.
I get to stay in self-development all day long. I have 9 calls today, and I will be feeling so wiped and so good at the end of the day, because I'm in session with myself and somebody else, because I don't stand with a golden scepter and lead it down. I, like I said, I go into the trenches, and that means I'm in the trenches too. And we sit in it and we explore. And for some people, that's not professional because it's not about me, but it's about, I will use my personal story. I will tell the truth over and over again. I will explain things that I struggle with because for me, I know when I get that, it helps me relate to someone. It helps me let my guard down. And I think that's the best word someone else can hear from someone is me too. So that doesn't mean it's the same exact thing. I won't say to help somebody when I can't. So if someone has something that's going on with something that I'm still working on, they're not, so I'll send them to someone who I feel is an expert in that area. But in my zones that I've worked on and always have more work because I'll never stop working, it's beautiful. And I will thank my clients during sessions. Thank you for that. That just gave me such a nugget, maybe for my business, maybe for my own life, maybe a podcast idea, maybe an article idea, whatever it is. It's all, I look at life as market research. So it's just a constant input of magnificent information for me to use for my greater good or to drive myself crazy and learn a lesson again. It just depends on how I decide to use it.
Who do you go to? Do you have somebody that you use? I use is the wrong word, but you know, do you have somebody that you, do you have a coach? Do you have a mentor?
I have a faction of them. I have.
I've got an entire team.
Dude, there's a village that holds this little person up. I have a whole bunch. So actually you had mentioned Cliff and Marta Wild earlier. Cliff and Marta, I work with. Cliff is actually helping me heal my gut. This is 23 years old gut issue. So Cliff, through the work that we do, I was like, dude, you have to be on the podcast. So I am very blessed to have a very tight community of people who support me. I have a couple of actual coaches who help me. I have a person who helps me with my marketing and stuff. And I had to learn this the hard way because I got excited when I first entered this, like all of the people, all of the things, everyone knows everything. I'm always going to be a student, but I needed to step away from it. And like you said earlier, remember my way is what's going to work for me. There could be 50 templates that are correct, but they're not mine. So I am very careful to receive support in areas that I know I need for skills and for help, rather than an overall somebody save me, because that won't be assigned to anyone but me ever again. So yeah. That's something where, like, digital marketing, not my thing. Tech, not my thing. So I have people who are intuitive and heart-centered who come from a place that we do that also do that stuff. That's someone I'll trust. Otherwise, I will buck the system and ignore everything they say. I'm good like that. I have a couple of intuitive friends to, when I know I'm sensing something and it's just, I'm a little too close, I'm like, am I leading the witness here in my inside of myself? Am I telling myself a story that's not true? So I have a lot of people who I serve as that for them as well. And we, you know, scratch each other's backs and we've got each other and we all rise together. So yeah, I will never do this alone again.
I think that's an important thing. I think so many times people get lost in that space of feeling so isolated and yes. So alone and all of their shit. And the realization is that I mean, you can look at it across the board. I honestly think, for me personally, I think it's one of the reasons why we come to this experience on this planet, however cosmically you want to look at it, is because of the relationships that we build with one another.
And I think that I know for me along my journey, a lot of what happened and when I lost myself was that I wasn't telling the truth. And it wasn't that I was lying. I couldn't see the truth. So I wasn't telling the truth to myself or to others. Like my parents were, who live in the same town as me, were devastated when they found out how unhappy I was. And I'm very close with them. And they said, why didn't you tell us? And I looked at them. I said, I couldn't tell myself. If I told you, I would have had to know myself. So it is a mistake. And a journey, I won't say a mistake, it's a major messy lesson I will not make again in my life, because I am a radical truth teller to myself, even when it stings. There's a lot of stuff I don't like looking at. And especially when you get to a certain point where you're good, it's hard to go from, it's easy to go from bad to good, in the sense that if you're homeless and you lost your job, you've got everyone rallying behind you. You go, girl, you go find your way. You know, when things are good or everyone there are people who are envious of your life from the outside. Good to better is a harder push to make. It's harder to step out of the comfort zone again, go through the hardship again, be scared again, try new things again. And it's something that I'm very conscious of completely staying on track with forever. Till the day I die, I will be working on all of this stuff. So having people around me that I can reach out to just to tell the truth. I'm having a bad day. I don't want to make this look pretty. I don't want to be a Stepford wife again. I don't want to color, you know, especially in the world of social media and people see you a certain way. And I've had that my whole life because I'm bubbly. People make assumptions that are true or not true. I don't really think about them. I don't ever want to play a role again. So the pulling down of the curtain over and over again is extremely important for me. And that I need support with around me so that I know they're witnesses to my truth.
Yeah. Well, it's all incredibly good stuff. You're absolutely amazing.
So are you. This was such an honor. Thank you so much for having me on. Your show is just, it's like soul food. It really is. I have a lot of friends with a lot of podcasts. I've been in the world of it for a year, and it's just, I see a new episode, I immediately jump. You literally walk with, I'm nervous when I finish all the back episodes. Craig, you got to double up here. Sherry's getting bored.
Yeah.
So it's just every, you know, you and I are similar in that we meet people in the conversation. It's a soul chat. It's a, where's this going to go? There's no plan. There are no pre-questions, everybody. Not that there's anything wrong when people do that. Those are beautiful too, more informational, but this is, it's such a gift to be able to listen to you and follow your journey and learn more about you through your interviews, because your insight and your questions say so much about you. And I'm so honored that our paths crossed. It's really exciting for me.
Well, it's exciting for me as well. And I can't thank you enough for taking the time. It's always like, I still, there's an aspect of me that's always dumbfounded when it's like, will you be on the podcast? And they're like, yeah, that'd be great. And I'm like, oh, phew, thank goodness. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's sherryteigman.com, right?
Yes, sherryteigman.com.
And then you've got your Facebook page for it and all that kind of stuff. Is there anything else that you want to throw out when it comes to people being able to get a hold of you and contact you?
One thing that I mention on every interview that I'm on, I believe that everyone should have a safe place to go. So if there's anybody who feels that they are hurting, need a conversation, want to be heard, no pitch needed, Sherry@sherryteigman.com is my email. I am happy to hop on the phone with anybody. It just sometimes is all somebody needs just to vent. And so it would be an honor for people, anyone listening, you feel you want to have a conversation, you want to explore further, that's up to you. But from me, this is just an open heart offering to reach out and talk.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Sherry. And thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast for the universe. We had such a good time after we got over all of our technical difficulty shit. That's why I hate doing these things online, but it works. So
yes, it does. It does.
So everybody go out. Thank you, Sherry. And everybody have a beautiful, wonderful day.
There's such gold and goodness when two people show up and express what's truly going on. If you don't get this stuff out, it gets muddy inside. Service is the ultimate deflection of your own stuff. I don't believe that self-development has to be as painful to get out as it was to get in.